Kees has a gift. I think a gift he received from the Lord. Then ask him a blessing over him in his life and the service that he has prepared. Yes, thank you, loving Father. Thank you for our brother. And that he can explain your word to us, Lord. Please, Lord, help him to speak through your Holy Spirit. And we need your love, Lord. It is like a two-edged sword. And we can ask for a blessing, Lord, over the words that Brother Case will speak. Oh, Holy Spirit, help him, please. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ, amen. And there is still a scissors on the Bible. So let's not do that. Good morning. I have to switch a little bit to focus my thoughts. I am happy to be here today, that I am able to give you a message through the Bible, of course. It's been a while. And I have to admit, it was a struggle to prepare something for this service. And I hope that you will be able to receive the core of the message that I try to give you today. And it is from the Old Testimony. It's in 1 Kings chapter 12. The Rift of the Realm. And Habiam went to Shechem. Where he has fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam. And he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetimes. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If today you will be a servant for those people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your service." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young man who had grown up with them replied, "Tell these people who have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now make our my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid a heavy yoke on you. I will make it even heavier. My father scorched you with its whips. I will scorch you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all of the people returned to Rehoboam, and the king has said, the king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given by him by the elders. "My father make you a yoke heavy, I will make it even heavier." So the king did not listen to the people. "For this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word of the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ajahah the Shilonite." When all of Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What parts in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel, look after your own house." This is a terrible event in the history of Israel. For you see that by the choice of Jehabiam, there was an ending to the country of Israel, started by David, I guess. Don't know. And only two tribes remain loyal to the house of David, and the other 10, they leave. And the new king makes 2 golden calves, places one in Bethel and the other one somewhere else, and the people are back to their sinful ways. And why is this so tragic? It is when the people built the tabernacle, all of the people were asked to give of their gold and their jewelry, and all of the people came, and they gave so much that Moses said, "We have enough." And it was the start of the people of Israel. Before that, it were families, lots of rivalry and complaints and trouble. But after they built the tabernacle, they became one people. And 500 years later, Salomo builds the temple. And he just builds it himself. And he brought the people in slavery. Salomo built a temple over the back of the people. And even though there was great prosperity in Israel, it all fell apart by the harsh words of Rehabiam. And it's just so special to see how these things happen. Why did Rehabiam follow the voice of his friends and not of the wise men? It was just easier to listen to the young people. And the old man told Rehabiam to bow for the people. And he was raised in the palace of King Salomo, the most. He was brought up in great wealth. He was second in line to a huge and powerful king. And you know, the elders say it would be easier if you win the love of the people, to humble yourself, to be in servitude of them, not the other way around. Take away the heavy yoke that your father has laid upon them. And this this advice did not lay well with him. And his friend said, "Nah, you just have to power through. Show your muscle, your might. Don't bow before the people, let them bow before you." He did not receive guidance from his father. And he did not listen to the wise man. And he did not want to take a step down. And he put himself in the middle, and he put a yoke on these people again, and the circumstances were dramatical. 10 tribes left. In our midst, in our world, there are always voices of wisdom and the voices of sweet talkers. We can hear them everywhere. And we can hear them even in the terrain of the Bible, the church, you know. Sweet talkers and Bible teachers. And what message is the message that you receive for yourself? Is it the voice of your feeling, your self? Or is it this voice of the truth, of the Holy Spirit? The Bible, the old people are, the elders are for in line with the Bible. And in the New Testament, it is there is a moment where Jesus has revealed to his disciples, 3 of them, to be the Son of God in all of his glory. And Elijah and I guess Moses come down. And God says, God points out Jesus and says, "This is my beloved Son." In him I have my well-finding. Listen to this man, the Son of God. And as the disciples open their eyes, and then they saw Jesus, and Elijah and Moses were gone. And the Lord Jesus, the voice of God, the voice of God himself, the Word became flesh. It lived among us. We were able to behold His splendor. And He's the one that is central. The Word of God given to us. He's truly the voice of the Good Keeper that guides us. Helps us to take us across and to follow us, him. And Jesus is the one that is like a mirror, and that we can look upon him, and he is the one that carries us, to helps us carry our cross. We have to listen to him. We have to know who he is. He's the one that leads us, guides us as our shepherd. And he is our shepherd that guides us and helps us to become less of ourselves and more of him. And I ask you, do you know the Lord? Do you know the shepherd? Do you really know him? Who is the Lord for you? How does the Lord help you? Is he truly the center in our lives? Do we really listen to him? Is he the voice that guides us? Guides us personal in our lives? Helps us to do the right thing? Is the Lord the one that we follow in this congregation? And the Lord is the one that brings us wisdom and guidance. And, you know, to what voice do we listen? And there's so much confusion in the Christian world. So many things are taking our attention and bring us in confusion. And we are tempted to be guided by our own feelings. And of course, our feelings are given us by the Lord, you know, but we have to be in balance. But we don't have to let our feelings make our judgments. But in this world, our feelings are so important. We don't like the congregations we are in. We just leave. And we leave. And we leave. As soon as we don't feel all right. But we have to open the word of the Lord, you know, to understand what he wants for us and to hear his voice, to see it and maybe in our heart or through the Bible. But he is the one that lifts us to a new life, that raises us. It is a voice that wakes us every morning, that guides me and I want to really urge you to listen to the voice of the Lord if you hear it. To really just to read more in the word of the Lord. And we lost so much of the truth. We know so little. And the Lord says, this is eternal life, that they know the Lord, that know the Son. It's not like information, but it's like a relation. It is more, as we will know the Lord, more and more we can be closer to him. And we will be able to worship him and honor him as he wants it in our lives. And the more we know of the Lord, we will understand how great he is, and that we can live in awe for him, that we can truly see who he is, the everlasting God that knows me. And do we listen to the voice of the Lord? You know, and do we know the voice of the Lord? Do we understand him? Do we know what he says to us? Or are we afraid? No. And do we still listen to him? Or do we listen to ourselves? So many words that ask our attention, so many new versions of the gospel, and there is a gospel that the Lord serves us, that a God that clears everything and does everything for me in this life so I can be happy. And this is of course an easy God, nice to follow, but is it realistic? Is it the God of the Bible? And, you know, I ask you this question. To what voice do you listen? What is the voice that you truly listen to? Is it the Lord or maybe something else? One of the things that we have is everybody gives their opinions. You know, if the elders have decide something, everybody has to respond. You know, and it looks like our feelings are taking the overhand in our lives. What choice do we have to make? What choice do I make in my own life? Every day again? Do I choose for the voice that do I choose for myself? Nahabian chose for himself, and the disaster that followed was dramatical. And I ask you, what is your choice? What do you choose? You know, don't say no to the voice of the good Lord, for it has consequences. If you know he speaks the truth, you know, the bringer of the gospel, and Jesus is the only one that deserves the worth of being the center of my life. But we are so easily persuaded by the sweet talking voice of the devil, I guess. And Paulus writes a letter to Timothy. I want to read from this. Timothy 2, the last and it is a letter to Timothy. And in chapter 2, I don't have it. I don't have it. 2 Timothy 3. Shit. Aha. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. And in the next chapter, verse 3, there will be a terrible times in the last day. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. You know, Paulus wrote this 2,000 years ago. You know, I advise you to read it, because he writes about the congregations. You know, and the people that just look for teachers that tickle their ears. And what are the teachers that we listen to? can we only hear the good things? Or are we able to experience maybe hard times or a hard message from the Bible? Are we able to do this? To listen to the words that the Lord spoke to us? Are we open for the guidance of the Holy Spirit? You know, we have such a powerful Lord, a great Jesus. He was truly the Son of God, and we can see the Father and the Son. And if we follow him, he will lift us up, and he will take us to the heart of the Father, where we can be with him for always. The Lord does not promise us a beautiful life here on earth. He promises to take us to the heart of the Father. The Lord wants to change us and make us better people. You know, this is my the question that I ask you. To what voice do you listen? Are you truly willing that the Lord can change you, to help you become a different person? Are you truly ready to bow before the Lord in everything He asks? Or do I just reach out to things that make me comfortable and are a pleasure to my eyes? It's not an easy message, I understand it. And I've thought about it for a long time. But I am convinced that we choose the right way, the right path. Nahabian made the wrong choice. He chose for himself. He chose for his own comfort, an easy life. And it was disastrous. The people of Israel became two kingdoms. And if you make the wrong choice, maybe this congregation will also be torn apart. Because our unity is the unity of God, the working of His presence and His Spirit. Let's follow the Lord. Let's do the right things. And let's be aware of the things that happen if you make the wrong choices. You know, there are no easy choices. There are always consequences. For everybody, the price is high. Let's pray. Maybe you want to stand. Lord our God, as we look upon you, Lord, we can only be in awe of you, Lord. Look upon the greatness. We can hear the soft voice of our shepherd. You ask us to follow you, Lord. We can truly be one with you. Truly the desire of the Father that we can be more like His Son, that we can be more like Jesus. And it starts, Lord, with you talking to us and us listening, us knowing that we are in you, Lord, and that we can follow you, Lord, and that you can be in my life, Lord, and in this congregation, that you can become bigger and bigger, Lord. Oh, please bless your word, Lord. And help us to ignore the right voices and listen to you, Lord. And help us to make choices that are in honor with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for your majesty, your splendor, your love, Lord, and your strength, your wisdom, and your majesty, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your perfect blessing over us. We want to bow before you, Lord, and learn to listen to you, Lord, every day again. Thank you, Lord, for who we are, who you are, and we praise your great name. In Jesus' name, amen.